Hi everyone, and welcome to week number three of Church at Home. So you are hanging in there, doing a great job, and I just want to thank you for dealing with this. This is how we're doing church right now. So I think we all look forward to a semblance of normal. We just crave rhythms. We crave the normal, and I might have good news that it's looking like next week we'll be able to live stream from the actual sanctuary at St. Paul, and that might just feel a little more normal for you. So we'll see if that works. I hope it does. One of the things we're humanity, I think we're gifted at is we're quick to adapt to new normals, and we're quick to adapt in order to minimize discomfort. And so, you know, if you have kids at home right now, this whole school at home is a new deal. It's a new process, and I don't know, in our house it's become normal. Like, we've made it as rhythmic as possible with absolute disciplines just to try to make this successful. And I want to encourage you. I think you're probably doing that in so many areas. One, I hope you stay a little uncomfortable with is church. Nothing compares to meeting together, and I cannot wait for that first time when we get to open the doors back up, and on a Sunday morning we get to worship together. I think it's going to be incredible. I like a veil lifting. The Lord showed me this week. Revelation 21 is this scene, and it's the new Jerusalem and the new heaven and the new earth are like just rolling out. And can you imagine what that's like? The return of Christ, when we get this new Jerusalem, we get to walk into this place that we've dreamed about and we've longed for so many years, right? And it's just this, we're going to be stunned. It's going to feel so amazing. You know, this is essentially the Garden of Eden on steroids. I mean, this is going to be so amazing. And I don't think our first Sunday back in St. Paul Westport is going to feel quite like that. But I think it'll be pretty special. So, and I think it'll be just a foretaste of what is to come. And I look forward to that. I really do. I look forward to that new normal. But as we think about the march into those doors, we're going to look at a psalm today that's all about that. We're going to be in Psalm 84. Our readings recently this past week have been from 1 Samuel. And we actually did a sermon series on 1 Samuel back in November of 2019, a few months ago, about 5 months ago. So this is a great opportunity to do a psalm. This psalm is one of my absolute favorite psalms. It's a worship psalm. And the whole setting on this is it's a march to Jerusalem for a worship festival. And so the people would be singing this as they march to Jerusalem. They're just excited to be there to worship, and they can't wait. And so that's kind of where my heart is, actually. And so here's what I want to do. I want to invite you. We're going to kind of go through this one verse by verse today. Sometimes we look at a chunk of scripture. Sometimes we take a theme. And other times, like today, we're going to just like look at every single verse and do this. But it's a psalm. And a psalm means we want to pray the psalm first and not just study it for theology. And so I'm going to read out loud and pray it out loud. I want to invite you to get your Bibles. If you have a digital Bible, I'm going to use the English Standard Version. It's what I prefer. But it would encourage you in your homes, you can read this aloud as well and pray this aloud as we read these verses. There's 12 verses to it. So let's pray. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. And so we're gonna take this now from verse one, and we're just gonna look at these together. And I just want to really encourage us in this. So verse one is the psalmist, and so it's the people singing this, right? They say, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts." They're talking about the temple. That's totally what they are, like the worship building. And so it's how lovely is that place? We're so excited for it. And the Hebrew in that is the word for lovely is actually, it's not about the external adornment. It's very much an internal feeling. It's an understanding of it's a place of my heart. And so that word's actually used in the title for Psalm number 45, which is a royal wedding psalm. And so you can imagine the bride and the groom have this internal, it's this love for each other. And so the psalmist is essentially saying, how lovely is your dwelling place? It's like, I have this love relationship with the temple. I just love the temple. And so that's what this psalm is, how it's set up, is it's this extravagant love, internal emotion tied to the temple. And then verse two, you know, my soul longs, yes, it faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. And it's just that that pull that I'm not going because I have to go. I'm not going because I feel like I'm obligated to go. I'm going because my heart longs for the presence of God, the joy, the blessing of sitting before God. It's just it's a wonderful verse there. Verse three, it says, even the sparrow finds a home, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. That phrase, that title really, O Lord of hosts, Lord God of hosts, Yahweh, God of hosts, is it can be translated the Lord of heaven's armies. And so it's this understanding that God himself is the commander in chief of the angelic armies. So it's a grand title. And so that's the picture there. And so the psalmist is like basically envying these birds who get to like camp out at the temple all day as they kind of burrow into the altars. And there's two altars, you know, there's the big altar for the burnt offerings. There's the little altar for the incense that goes on that. And it's just this, like, I envy the birds. They get to stay there all the time. And two of my favorite characters in the Bible, and it's because of their heart, but it's Anna and Simeon, both found in Luke 2. In fact, you should pause this right now and just go look at those few verses of Luke 2. It's just beautiful, but it's, you know, Simeon, an elderly man of God. Anna's an elderly woman of God, but she had stayed in the temple for like the better part of 70 years, just like ministering in the temple after she became a widow very, very young. But it's that idea of like, just to be in the temple, that's where it's at. And then you get to verse four, which is, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. The priests, the temple officials, those people, the Annas, the Simeons, right? But just how blessed are those who spend their hours, spend their days in the temple. And you know, so can you imagine then? Here's this, the family. Just say you're a family and you're going to Jerusalem. You're making this journey, and you are so anticipating, so excited to get to the temple. And you're thinking about the people that are already there. Man, they were there since the last time we got to go. And they're just so excited in that. And so verse five and one through four, those verses kind of go together. Five through seven is another set of verses that seem to go together as well. And so it says this, blessed are those whose strength is in you and whose heart are the highways to Zion. and that's Zion being Jerusalem, being the Temple Mount. This is about the highways to Jerusalem, about the roads, about the different ways to get to Jerusalem. And there were a couple main roads to get to Jerusalem. But this was not an easy journey for a whole lot of the people. And we're going to see that in the next verse. Verse 6 is a key verse in this whole psalm. They sing and they say together, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. So this verse, it's baffled people before because no one knows where the Valley of Baca is. I mean, there's no understanding of what that formal name is, where it's at geographically. And so you have to look at it in a different way and say, okay, it could be a formal place, but it really translates to the Valley of Weeping. And so it's the Valley of Weeping, and it's this understanding that it's this dry and barren, desolate way. It's not a pleasant place. It's waterless. And so when you're walking, right? I mean, they don't have their cars, and so they're going to Jerusalem. It's a big ordeal. And so when they go through the Valley of Weeping, it's obviously not a happy journey. It's a tough journey. It's a likely a dangerous one, and there's no water. But look what happens as these people's their excitement that's in them because they're anticipating meeting God, having an encounter with Him. It says as they go through the Valley of Weeping, they make it a place of springs, of water, just water, just it just it shows up. We're bringing joy into a really dark situation. The early rain also covers it with pools. Like all of a sudden, like as we enter this weeping place, it just fills with joy. And I think about that, and I think about right now it feels like our nation, it feels like the world is in the Valley of Baca, the Valley of Weeping. And there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of very understandable fear, but also there's illness, there's death. This whole coronavirus, we can't really afford to get sick of hearing about it because it's here. And I just want to encourage us that as a follower of Christ, right, it doesn't mean that we can't be a victim to it. But in any situation, in any circumstance, we want to walk through a valley of weeping by bringing joy into that valley, right? So we have an opportunity as followers of Christ that we can bring joy. We can bring into a waterless, into a barren, a dry place. We can actually bring the water, right? In this case, we can bring the joy of the Lord. We can bring when you're walking. Oh my goodness, our family, we're going on walks a lot together, and it's like how we've met more neighbors, people in our neighborhood than we've never even seen before, because they're out walking too. And it's like we have the opportunity in a really sad and dark time to bring hope, to bring light into other people's lives. And we want to be smiling, we want to bring joy, we want to say hi, we want to introduce ourselves. Like it's and I really do feel this is so important. This really matters today, but in the psalm, it's they're going through great struggle to get to Jerusalem, and so in that, they have to understand that the goal, any discomfort, any pain, and where they're at now is totally worth the goal that they're going for, to get to Jerusalem, to get to this place. And it says in verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. So if you go from strength to strength, say you have a journey that's like this big, okay? And you start here and you're coming over here. And when you get to this point right here, you're even more excited because you're closer, right? You went from strength to a new strength and now to a new strength. And then your anticipation just builds and you get so excited for it. That's what's going on, is they're going from a place of major excitement, major emotion, to a greater place with greater motivation, greater anticipation. And so that's that understanding. There's also a belief by some scholars that it can literally be translated not just from strength to strength, but from outer wall to inner, which if that's true, well, that's great. That just means from the outer courts of the temple into the holy, like into the holy place, right? You're approaching the throne of God. They're going from strength to strength. You're going from further out to closer to God, which parallels that anyway, even if it's not a direct translation. And so then you get to verses 8 and 9, which also go together. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob. So the very first thing they do when they enter into the temple is they pray. And they just lay down and go after the Lord in prayer. Behold our shield, O God, look on the face of your anointed. So this is the prayer they pray. Now, you got to remember, all of Israel is going, like they're marching to Jerusalem for this great festival. And this prayer in verse 9 actually is about the king. Both the shield and the anointed one refer to the king. And you have to understand that this is such a big, it's such a big festival, such an important one. That the whole community is coming. The king has a central role in this. I mean, he's going to be part of this, but it's how the community pulls together in this. And so I want to just read. This is so huge. It's about three sentences, three, four sentences, and it's from a Jewish prayer book. But and the idea is it totally sets the table for why the community in this psalm would be so devoted to praying together and united together. But I think I can't not read when I read this. I think about today. I think about how we're digital right now. We're not together in person, but how we shall not be limited in that. And so this actually comes from Siddur Lev Chadesh. I'm sure you're all familiar with that. It's a Jewish prayer book. Okay, but this is it, and it's fascinating. A community at worship is a society declaring its devotion to God, a community forged by faith in God. Here is an experience which can deepen the society spirit, strengthen the bond of sympathy between men and women. If in public worship, I realize that my prayers are also the prayers of the person by my side, it will make us more effectively aware of our common humanity and implant a spirit which will be potent for social good. Those who worship God together bring God into their mutual relations. And so I love it for today. I love that for us as we pray together, as we intercede together for a loved one, as we worship through music together, and as we study the Word of God together. There's something unifying about doing this, knowing that we have brothers and sisters, not just maybe in your house doing this here, but even around this area, that we're devoted to God together in this, which is really incredible. And that's what these in Psalm 84, that's what's happening. That's how they're praying this. And so the final section is the last three verses here, and it's 10 through 12. You'll recognize these verses from some of our Christian worship songs. But for a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. My family, it's not a joke. I am so serious, and they know that. They bought into this too. But there's a dream. Okay, I have this dream. One day, I'm gonna go to Bora Bora. I want my family. We're gonna go to Bora Bora. It's gonna be years from now. I know that, but we're gonna go. I've seen so many pictures, and I've fallen in love with this place. It's the beauty of the islands, the water. It's just stunning. And when I read this verse, it's like one day in your courts, one day in the presence of God is better than a thousand anywhere else. This is me agreeing to this and saying, Lord, I could spend like almost 3 years in Bora Bora, or one day at church, one day just in your presence. And I believe this word. I believe the word of God. I believe that the presence of God is better than a 3 years anywhere else. It's remarkable, isn't it? And it's interesting, the Hebrew on this, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness, which is great. Really, it's not a doorkeeper, which is an actual position. It's an understanding of I'd rather be at the threshold. I'd rather be just standing at the door, peering in, just like maybe even halfway in. I'd rather be there than dwelling in the tents of wickedness, having all kinds of fun, revelry. Like even if I'm just at the threshold, I'd be so satisfied, God. See, the anticipation, the joy of being in God's presence is real. And then it ends with, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you." And it's the only time in the Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, where the word for sun is equated to God. And the reason for that is that the Hebrews didn't want that because the Egyptian sun god was such a big deal, and so much of the people of Israel they're tied to Egypt and from the 400 years of slavery, from the escape, and there's this shadow hanging over them, so they just avoid comparing God to a sun, except for here. And the idea is the sun is all that he provides. It's all that God provides. And shield is all that God protects. He is our provider. He is our protector. He is our mighty God. And no good thing does he withhold from those who love him. And that's the joy we have. And that's the presence of God that we're living in. And so as we look at the psalm, as you pray this psalm, as you pray the next psalms, I just want to encourage you. They are so locked in on the presence of God, finding joy in the presence of God. If you're hanging with us on the 2020 challenge, reading through the Bible in a year, we're about a day or two away from being just a hair over 25% of the way done. So we're pretty much a quarter of the way through. Great job, those of you. Really feel like you're, I'm just so far behind, I don't know. We're not counting misses, we're counting makes, okay? So start it up and just go after it. Pick it up where you're at right now and we're gonna, or where we're at in the studies and in the lessons. And I just want to encourage you in that. You guys have an amazing week. Don't hesitate to reach out. We love you. God bless.